and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Sterling Diesel Service reminds us that safety on the job is job one. Knowledge of the job, sobriety, and awareness are qualities we all count on in our fellow employees and employers. Keep the workplace and job site safe for yourself, your coworkers, and the clientele you serve. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Sterling Diesel Service. They say our area is a great place to live, work, shop, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's Sterling Diesel Service in Sterling, where they're always concerned for the safety and welfare of our community. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and this morning we're going to try something a little different. We're just going to have open lines. So if you'd like to call in, 970-689-8255, 970-689-8255. But we are living certainly in the most dangerous times, exciting times, frightening times of my life, because the whole economic structure of the world is beginning to crumble. Countries all throughout the world are seeing unrest. In fact, they're talking about major demonstrations in the city in London. Now, most people don't even know what the city of London is. It's not the city of London as you think of it, but it's a special little area, maybe one square mile inside of London, where, of course, they have a walled city, they have a mayor, they have their own police force, their own structure. They're completely independent of the government of England, and that is where the power of London is. It's not in the Parliament, in the Parliament building. It is in the people who control the economics of Great Britain, and indeed of a great deal of the world. And people don't understand that this is where the banking empire began back in 1694, probably one of the most important dates in history, because that's when William Paterson established the Bank of England. And the Bank of England, of course, was to be the major central bank, an example for all other central banks, a privately owned bank that would determine the monetary policy of the nation and certainly would control the government, no matter whether you had liberals or Tories in power. Why, of course, the real power was always with the city. But what was so interesting is there are going to be massive demonstrations in the city. The English economy is certainly in a very real problem. Inflation unemployment is rising. Corporations are shutting down. People are losing their homes there. In many respects, things are even worse over in Great Britain than they are here. Because, you see, there's always been our economy and their economy have always been interlocked by the fact that there is a ruling elite that really controls the world, and they control it by controlling money. And you remember we've talked in the past about the first bank of the United States, and that was established in 1791. Let's see, was it 17? Yeah, 1791. And, of course, it was established under the auspices and direction of Alexander Hamilton, who was intimately involved with the banking interests of Europe. And, of course, Jefferson said this was a terrible idea. We did not want to have anything to do with Europe. We wanted to form our own nation. But Hamilton, being, of course, associated with the banking interests over there, convinced George Washington we should have a central bank that direct the financial policy of our nation. And George Washington, foolishly, not understanding how important money is, because those who control the money control the nation, went along with Hamilton over Jefferson's objection. And the first bank of the United States was established with a charter for 20 years. Well, of course, about a third of the stock of the bank was bought by interest, the banking interests in Great Britain at that time. And very soon, they were dictating American financial policy. And so in 1911, of course, Congress was well aware of the fact that our policies were not necessarily aimed at benefiting our people, and there was money being made by the First Bank, and a lot of that was going overseas to the stockholders of the First Bank, and so Congress refused to renew the charter of the First Bank of the United States, our central bank, and, well, of course, that brought terrible problems immediately. We were involved in the War of 1812, and you remember the British came in and burned the White House and burned a great deal of Washington, D.C., but eventually, of course, in 1915, after the financial interests in Europe had plunged America into a Great Depression in 1915, they renewed the charter of the bank. This became then the Second Bank of the United States for 20 years. That was in 1816. And the second bank was taken over by a man named Nicholas Biddle. And Nicholas Biddle was an aristocrat. Of course, once again, a third of the stock was bought up by Europeans. And, of course, they directed, and, of course, they could produce prosperity. All you had to do was just print money. You just printed money, and you printed money, and it's a wonderful thing, but there's nothing behind the money. Oh, we were supposed to have money that was backed by money, by gold, so that you could not get extras money. After all, if we were to give everybody in the United States $1 million today, think of the prosperity we'd have for a time. And why, of course, prices would rise to meet all this new money, and eventually, why, we'd be back in the same situation we are today, only what would have happened was that certain people using the paper money would have bought up the industries and the farms and the property, and everybody else would be sitting back fat and happy with a large bank account, but their money gradually losing, and then more rapidly losing its value until everything was equalized again. And you had to give everybody now $2 million to begin to get the economy moving again. Well, certainly by 1932... Why, Andrew Jackson, an old hickory, was an old Indian fighter, and recognizing, of course, what was happening, that the money was being used to benefit the wealthy and not the common people, Andrew Jackson certainly opposed the Second Bank of the United States. It was the central bank. It was controlled by bankers for the benefit of bankers to enrich bankers, and largely controlled out of Europe, out of Great Britain. So Andrew Jackson, when Nicholas Biddle tried to renew the charter of the Second Bank of the United States in 1832, Andrew Jackson opposed him. Well, since the bankers had purchased the support of many of the newspaper publishers, and they did that by advertising back in those days, just as they do it today, or maybe they owned the newspapers outright, but they controlled pretty well the medium, and they attacked Andrew Jackson, and many members of Congress went along with the idea of the central bank. Oh, we need a central bank to have an expanding money supply. Oh, that's how we're going to have prosperity. That's how we're going to become a great nation. But Andrew Jackson, even over the objection of members of his own cabinet and over his own vice president, said, oh, I will stand for election on opposition to the bank. And either it'll be you'll have the bank and no Jackson, or Jackson and no bank. Well, you know what happened. We'll be back. Give us a call. 970-689-8255. 970-689-8255.
For over 15 years, K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery Care has provided not just clean carpet, but a healthy carpet. Bonded and insured, K&K has brought quality care to your home with a proven safe truck-mounted hot water extraction process that is pH-balanced, allergen-free, and safe for the environment.
Tile, grout, heat transfers, and water damage care also available. For your free estimate, call K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery, 303-237-4655. Ask about the KHNC discount on your first cleaning. That's 303-237-GO-KK.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way, the only way they know how.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and this is going to be an open line program. If you'd like to talk about what I'm talking about, why, great. If you'd like to talk about something else, 970-689-8255. I was telling you about the story, of course, what happened with Andrew Jackson in the White House. Well, then, of course, it was a very heated election battle, but the election 1913 centered on, were we going to have a central bank controlled by Europeans and really, of course, dictating American economic policy, or were we going to have a free banking system based upon state banks and based upon a gold where you could not expand the money supply and create artificial prosperity? Well, of course, Andrew Jackson stood very strong. Andrew Jackson won the election, whereupon Nicholas Biddle, who, of course, controlled the Second Bank of the United States, immediately contracted the money supply and plunged America into a terrible depression, recession, hoping somehow to neutralize what Jackson had done and get a renewal on the chart of the Second Bank, you know, maybe from the next president. But the American people recognized what had happened. They recognized the European influence upon American banking, and of course, as they contracted the money supply, people lost their jobs, they lost their homes, they lost their factories, they lost their farms, and people understood this was all a function of banking. And the American people as a whole turned against turning our monetary system over to a group of very wealthy people who used the banking system and enriched themselves and impoverished the people. And there was never again they were able to get through their idea of a central bank. Certainly, bankers worked behind the scenes to precipitate the Civil War. Why this was they were going to get back of the United States, and of course they always benefit from wars. They provide funds to both sides. They offered to provide funds to Abraham Lincoln to finance the Northern Army for 25% interest, and Abraham Lincoln refused. And he printed the Lincoln greenback. He just printed the money to finance the Civil War. The South, they actually financed the South. That's how they were able to get the money to fight the North. They financed both sides during all the wars. You can see that during the Second World War, when, of course, prior to the war, it was the American corporations controlled and interlocked with the great banks that built the armaments for Adolf Hitler and provided him the funds so he could create the great battle. And even during the war, why, of course, he was getting aid not only from, from American corporations over there building the weapons for him, General Motors, Ford, International Telephone and Telegraph, and I think it was DuPont, or Anyway, there was one of the big chemical companies, and of course, Standard Oil interlocked with IG Farben, but you can't let the American people know that any more than you can let the American people know that we're transferring or we have transferred the nuclear technology to Pakistan so they can have an atom bomb and nuclear weapons in preparation for the coming Third World War. And you want that story, the documentation on it? You'll find that in my January 2008 newsletter called State Secrets. So it's up on the Internet. Fortunately, we do have means of disseminating information we've never had before. The only question is, are there enough Americans who care? Why would we be building up the nuclear potential of Pakistan and going along with that of all the Muslim nations because they've assumed the nuclear technology to Saudi Arabia and certainly the nuclear technology to Iran and the other Muslim countries? Why we're planning on World War III? Why do you think we're over there right now doing everything we can to antagonize the Muslim people? There is no reason why we should be in Afghanistan fighting today. Because, after all, the president says we're there because we can't give Al-Qaeda a base to be planning attacks against us. But Al-Qaeda's in 30 or 40 countries throughout the world. Are we going to go into all 30 or 40 countries? After all, we created Al-Qaeda. The CIA financed this whole movement. It came out of the Mujahideen, who were financed by the CIA during the Afghan war. We financed the Taliban. We financed the radical Muslim movement. A part of long-range planning, preparing for this coming nuclear Armageddon that's coming. It'll follow the financial Armageddon that's upon us today, but we were giving you the history of the banking situation, and certainly the American people opposed banks. They realized how the banks would expand the money supply, and then, of course, everybody would be prosperous. Then they'd contract the money supply, and people would lose their jobs and their homes and their farms. People always want to borrow money. And, of course, if they can get you to borrow money and get into debt and borrow money on your house and then you lose your job, who ends up with your house? Why, they do. That's how the system works. They win, we lose. And who are they? Well, Sydney, I believe in the free enterprise system. I believe in individual freedom. But what people have missed, and most of the people who talk about these things, is there is... are groups of people. There have always been secret societies, but these secret societies have always tied into the occult. And there is a supernatural element out there. There is a mystical world. There is another dimension. And what people do not understand is that the control of money and banking has always tied into the occult. And this is where people have missed and really been unable to understand so many things because they just don't make sense. But we cover this in much of our writings, and we hope you'll go up on the Internet and pull down our November and December 2008 newsletters and our January 2009 newsletters posted, and hopefully very shortly we'll have the February posted. We've just gotten terribly far behind, but we're working on a talk we hope will open people's eyes and make them understand what this is really all about. Because America is under attack today, and there is a plan to destroy the value of our currency and impoverish the people. And just today, either last night or today, the Beijing website of the communist government that we've been financing over in China has called for a new reserve currency. In other words, dump the American dollar. And with that, they will create a new currency under the IMF, and whether it'll be based upon special drawing rights, whether it'll be based upon a basket of currencies, but anything to get away from the American dollar as the sole reserve currency, which means that then all these countries throughout the world that are holding their reserves in U.S. dollars, and on average, the countries throughout the world have about 64% of their reserve holdings, the money that they have to back up their own currencies, in U.S. dollars. And when the U.S. dollar is no longer the reserve currency, all of those dollars are going to come home and destroy the value of everything you've saved for and worked for all of your life, your pension fund, your bonds, your stocks, your retirement fund, your annuities, they're all going to go. Insurance policies, forget about them. Destroy the value of the monetary system, you destroy the stability of the nation. Alan Greenspan said that in his book, The Age of Turbulence. Well worthwhile reading, understand this Alan Greenspan. I had certainly been working, socializing with all of these elitists within the banking system. He was a member of the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations. He was on the board of directors. He was even on the board of directors of J.P. Morgan and Company and a Morgan Guarantee. He was the ultimate insider who took over the reins of our financial system to ultimately destroy it. And that's what it was all about. That's why, of course, they encourage people to take out these adjustable rate mortgages, and they encourage the use of derivatives that would ultimately bring down our whole financial system. You talk about bubbles, and we talk about the stock market bubble. We talk about the housing bubble. We talk about the bond bubble. You wait till the derivative bubble goes off. You're talking somewhere between $700 trillion and $1.25 quadrillion dollars worth of derivatives sitting out there, and there's not even a fraction of that amount of money in the world. But don't you worry, all these banks that are in derivatives are too large to fall, and so we're just going to have to go to the American taxpayers and create money so that we can keep the banks that created the problem tied into the Trilateral Commission, tied into the secret societies. We're going to just have to keep them from falling, and in the process, destroy the value of the currency. Well, if you're out there, give us a call, 970-689-8255, 970-689-8255, and if we can get people calling on a regular basis, when we do open lines, we'll have open lines once a week. If not, why, we'll just go back to as we have in the past. But there's so much to talk about today, and of course, really, we have a wonderful book. It was written in 1789 by a Mr. Wahlberg. Mr. Wahlberg was a lawyer, and he was writing about it was written in 1889. And it was written by Mr. Wahlberg, who was a lawyer, and he was writing about what the banks were doing. And I see he recognized the banking crisis in the 1870s and the banking crisis that occurred in the 1880s, all created by the banks. And the book is entitled The Coming Battle. It was reprinted by a friend, Paul Walter, who, of course, is a true American patriot. He came from a communist country, came here. He'd never know he'd come from a foreign country from his accent, but, he doesn't have really an accent. He's just a wonderful commander of the English language. But he, of course, has news with views, and if you don't go to his website, he has wonderful articles there, totally dedicated to trying to awaken the American people. Over 1.25 million hits on his website every single day. But he published this book as a warning to the American people about what the banks were doing. And certainly in 1889, Mr. Wahlberg said that the banks were ultimately going to take over control of this country and destroy our freedom. And he was absolutely right. Of course, in 1913, they were able to get the Federal Reserve Board through. And the very people who control the banks, not only the American banks, but the representatives of the European banks met there in Jekyll Island, just off the coast of Georgia, to plot about creating a third central bank in the United States. Only this time they would call it the Federal Reserve System. And the American people would think that this was a means of controlling the central banks and keeping the bankers from robbing and raping and pillaging and destroying the country, whereas, of course, it was a very, very clever means of reestablishing a central bank under private control with strong ties to the European bankers. And what most people don't understand is that the Federal Bank is largely related to the city in London. And, of course, how could they possibly hold it? After all, isn't all the stock held by American banks? Yes. It's all held by American banks, and many of which, of course, are tied to the city in London. That's really what this is all about. How can we document it? Well, everything has been done to conceal the truth about what's going on, but we're putting together a syllabus. It'll be available. In fact, it is available now, but it's going to be going along with this talk we're putting together called Financial Armageddon, but it contains a report from the House Banking Committee put out in 1976, which you've never heard of, which you've never seen, totally suppressed. It contains actually speeches made by Congressman McFadden in 1934, speeches by Congressman Wright Patman in 1964. So McFadden is talking in about 34, McFadden is talking in 64, and they understood what was going on. They were in charge of the House Banking Committee. They were trying to warn the American people of the influence of the European bankers and their control over our economic system. But the average American has never heard these speeches, never seen the speeches, and we put them together. And we've included in that a letter, which I found among Colonel House's papers back at Yale University. A letter that was sent in 1933, as I remember. It was sent to, from President Roosevelt to Colonel House. And he talks about, well, you know, Jack Morgan, now that was J.P. Morgan's son, Jack Morgan was here the other day, you know, and he wasn't so worried about the purchase of the gold and, you know, taking America off the gold standard. And then he went on to say, and I'll tell you as soon as I get back, give us a call, 970-689-8255. 970-689-8255. Because this is the key.
Office or commercial space for rent. Here's your chance to get a great location downtown Johnstown across from Ace Hardware on Parrish. Only $500 a month. Lots of room for sign exposure and 500 square feet. Available now. Call 970-231-6586. Also available, one-bedroom apartment for rent. Remodeled, clean, air-conditioning downtown Johnstown off-street parking. Available now. Only $575 a month. Please call 970-231-6586. 970-231-6586.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way. The only way they know how.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Parents, remind your young adults during spring graduation and prom season, the pressure and excitement becomes much greater and the likelihood of misusing or abusing drugs and alcohol increase. This year, practice moderation and common sense, especially behind the wheel and on our roads and highways. Remember, the life you save may be your own. A strong and safe community begins with the involvement and integrity of its people. This message was brought to you by the folks who care at Sykes Enterprises Incorporated, where they realize our children are our future and the future is worth protecting. That's Sykes Enterprises, located in Sterling.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our telephone number, 970-689-8255. But I was talking about this letter, and I found it when I went through Colonel House's papers back at Georgetown University, Yale University, the Sterling Library. And FDR, the President of the United States, writing to Colonel House, made this statement. The truth of the matter is, as you and I know, that financial elements in centers has controlled the government of the United States since the days of Andrew Jackson. Let me repeat that. The truth of the matter is, as you and I know, that financial elements in centers has controlled the government of the United States since the days of Andrew Jackson. Now, that is an amazing statement coming from Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was personally involved in the occult. He was a disciple of Manly P. Hall, who was a Satanist. And, of course, he even sent a crew of men back out to California to photograph all of, make copies of all of Manly P. Hall's papers so he would have them for his own use. And of course, this was, of course, looking into the supernatural element that really directs the world. But FDR understood what was going on. He talked about financial elements, not element, but elements. It was plural, and he used the word not center, but centers. And this is why this syllabus is really so vitally important. It's called Financial Armageddon, and it can be ordered now, although later it will come with a talk. But what were these centers he was talking about? Well, ordinarily you'd think about Wall Street would be the center of the banks that control our government. The Wall Street has been the influence, and that is where the great banks are centered. But this was not center, but centers. It was plural. And I believe he was talking about, of course, the city in London as well as Wall Street. And it would be these two centers that would control our government. And, of course, what most people don't understand is the influence of European banking and the occult on our financial system in America today. And unless you really understand that there are a supernatural element to everything going on, and if you have not yet read the document that we offer, put out by the people on the other side, called The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy, where they talk, and this comes out of the Lucius Trust, used to be the Lucifer Publishing House, but comes out of the Lucius Trust, and they talk about how they have their agents, certainly in government and education, but in finances all throughout the world. They're working in finances. And of course, they will tell you that some of the men understand what it's about. They understand who they're really working for. Others, are they simply, their minds are controlled. I mean, they're quite open in the discussion. It's the most amazing document. And if you order anything from us, why, and you ask for the Treatise on the Spiritual Hierarchy, we'll be glad to send it to you, The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy, not imaginary, very real. And of course, a really very frightening on one hand and yet exhilarating when you realize there really is a supernatural element. There really is a battle between God and Satan going on. And, of course, we have somebody on the line. Who's calling in?
Chief, my name's Daniel. I'm from Reed Ridge, Colorado, a suburb of Denver.
Sure, and you haven't called before. So good to have you with us, Daniel.
Yes, thank you. I was just calling since the people in government are controlled by these bankers, and they can be very wicked, like you said. Roosevelt was in the occult. Then how do we pray for them, and how do we apply, like, Romans 13, where it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God?
Well, because certainly, do you believe that, that God placed Adolf Hitler in power?
No.
Well, you see, he allowed it to happen, but he didn't put it in power. And if you read the whole sequence of Romans 13, you'll find out that the leaders are supposed to be subservient to God, and we are to be subservient to the leaders. And if your leader is not subservient to God, then I do not believe we have an obligation to follow him. We have an obligation to do what is right and not to go along with laws that are unjust. Abortion is murder in God's eyes. Should we support it? Of course we shouldn't. Yes, we should pray for the wicked people, because if we don't, you come to really hate them. You can't allow yourself to be consumed with hate. And when I find myself in a situation where I'm very angry with somebody, I find out that I feel much better if I pray for them. And you know, sometimes people will really change. And through the years, I've prayed for people and seen a transforming power in their lives. I don't know whether it had anything to do with my prayers or maybe it did. But I believe there is a God out there. I believe we're to be subservient to Him. But when you have corruption, as we do today, and when you have organized evil, I think we have to speak out against it and do everything we can, you know, short of armed rebellion, to try to educate the American people. And over in London today, this very day, you're not going to read about it in your controlled press. I mean, you're not going to read about this in your newspaper. It's not going to be covered on the controlled television tonight, but there'll be major demonstrations in the city of London against the corrupt banking practices, which at least the people of London and England understand all come out of the city. This little enclave in London that I spoke of is a separate power unto itself, where European banking, where English banking, and even control of American banking originates. So when you understand that, but as far as Romans 13 is, we've got a great treatise on that by a man named Pastor Weaver, where he addresses Romans 13 and how, of course, this is being constantly used. You read it. The leaders are to be subservient to God. Are our leaders subservient to God? Absolutely not. Should we be subservient to them? No. God gave us a republic which limited the power of government, and we should try to reclaim the government God gave us.
Okay, I understand that now better. Thanks.
Anything else, Daniel?
And then, so when we pray for them, we need to pray that the Holy Spirit will convict them so that they would realize what they're doing is wrong and turn from it.
Absolutely. And whether they do or not, that's up to God. We don't determine that. But who knows? You know, some of these people have actually have turned around and come out of this evil. What we need to do is, of course, to hope that more will do it. I'm not very optimistic, but I think that is something that we can do and should do. Okay,
I understand, and so I'll pray that way, that they'll be convicted and realize they need to come out of what they're in.
Right.
Okay.
God bless.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Daniel.
You're welcome. Okay, bye.
All right, our telephone number again, 970-689-8255. 970-689-8255. Well, as we mentioned earlier, China called either last night or this morning, anyway, within the last 24 hours, to do away with the American dollar as the reserve currency of the world. And, of course, that will have a tremendous effect. The government is already... Barack Obama's administration is called now. They're going to start monetizing our debt. They start printing massive amounts of money. This week it said it would purchase $1.25 trillion of mortgage-backed securities, and that it would put out another $200 billion for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac securities, another $300 billion for long-term debt. They're going to destroy the value of our currency. We'll be right back.
Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to join them as they celebrate Passover 2009 in Messiah Yeshua. He brought us out to bring us in. Festivities begin Wednesday, April the 8th at 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza, 10 East 120th Avenue in Northland. Beth Messiah Band, Mishpaha Family Praise Dance, and the Intercourt Dancers will be there. Deadline for reservations, March the 25th, so call now, 1-800-205-6245, and get your reservations for Passover 2009 and Hag Sameach.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Your brother has it, your co-workers have it, and your friends have it. You need to get your concealed weapons permit, too. Go to www.theshootingschool.org and sign up now for the NRA basic pistol class to get your Colorado concealed carry permit. Unlike most instructors, we provide you with enough certificates to renew your carry permit for 10 years. Visit theshootingschool.org now to register or call Senior Instructor Dennis Young at 303-478-8121. That's Dennis Young at 303-478-8121. www.theshootingschool.org.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Standback here. Our number 970-689-8255. We had somebody calling in. Are they still on the line?
Hello?
Yes, hi. Go ahead.
Hi, my name's Mike.
Hi, Mike. Where are you from?
Colorado, outside of Nederland.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah. Well, I was going to... The other day you were talking, I think it was to... I can't remember exactly what it was. But it seemed to be pertinent today, as we're talking about. I'd like to get your take on the following. I don't hear much being spoken of people correcting their status and, you know, becoming state nationals, as we were when the states were first admitted to the Union. Why I say that is because if people were nationals, the United States government would not have... hold over them, and then and therefore they couldn't use them for collateral for all this money that they're borrowing.
Well, this is a wonderful theoretical consideration. We're facing a dictatorship, and people want to say, well, I'm a sovereign and you can't arrest me because I'm not a citizen of the United States. And there's so many people who spend all their time and do that rather than fighting the real enemy. And these are wonderful theoretical considerations, like saying, well, the 16th Amendment was never passed. It was not illegal, so I'm not going to pay my income tax. I am a sovereign citizen, and you can't do this to me. And I would like to say to them, you're going to be one of the best educated people in the concentration camp. We're struggling for our life now, and the fire is on, the fire is raging, and somebody's saying, well, you know, I really think that maybe we ought to have more fire trucks, you know, around.
Sure.
What you're talking about is absolutely certain. We need to get back to our Constitution. We need to get back to the idea of states' rights. But we will not do that until people understand our Constitution. Most people don't understand the Constitution.
Oh,
most people are so wound up in, oh, my goodness, you know, I am a sovereign citizen. You can't do that to me. You tell that to the black-suited people with the masks on when they come and haul your way. I think have to fight the fire that's raging now. These other things are theoretical considerations. Important, yes, but until we can take back our country, until there are enough people who care about freedom, who are not there with their hand out to the government to provide for me and I'll vote for you, until we let people understand we are a republic and not a democracy, democracy has always failed. These other considerations are simply of no consequence. But go right ahead.
We won't be a republic if everybody's a U.S. citizen, and in the process of illegally correcting your status, you become very educated in all these different facts about articles of the Constitution and all these. I've been studying this, you know, and trying to find out information on this for years. There's so little said about it. I mean, it's really given me a big education in just everything that I dig up and find and read. And, you know, and finding, well, I figured, well, I'll just make this statement. I'm not a U.S. citizen. I'm a sovereign. But then I find that there's a whole lot of things I have to do legally to actually meet the performance of all this. And then in this process, I'm getting an education that I never got through our wonderful public school system, you know, or university system. And, you know, so I'm just saying, if we have no sovereign citizens in this country, we have no republic. It's just like if nobody reads the Bible doesn't have much effect on mankind, does it? You know?
Have you given up your driver's license?
No, I'm studying all this and what I have to do, you know. But I'm learning an awful lot as I go.
What are you doing though to help try to get the information out to make people even understand the simple difference between democracy and a republic? In fact, can you tell me the difference between a democracy and a republic?
Oh, well, certainly I can.
What's the difference between a democracy and a republic?
I'll tell you an easy one. That's two wolves and a sheep deciding what to have for lunch. But with a republic, you have the power that's in the people, and the power comes from the people. In a democracy, you're basically being led by a dictator.
Well, a democracy, the people vote the dictator into power. It is democracy.
Well, yeah,
the people can vote for
it.
They could vote for anybody they want to, and they will always vote for the man who promises to give them the most.
As long as they're ignorant.
Education. Give me the power and I'll take care of you, and that's what's wrong with a democracy.
You go.
They always fail. A republic is a system of law where the power of the government is limited over the lives of the people. And you take and you put them on to government. Government should not be providing the people, because the government that can provide for you from the cradle to the grave has got to be able to control you from the cradle to the grave. And
sure.
The average American doesn't understand that liberty and limited government are synonymous. And if you don't limit the power of government, then you will have tyranny. That's what's the difference.
And you'll have no ability to do that if you don't understand the law and if you don't take the time to understand it.
Right. Well, I think
people will
respond
to the law.
Who did you vote for in the last election?
I didn't. I'm not a registered voter.
You're not a registered voter, so you then have
no control over
anything going on.
Huh? Well, I have no control if I vote. I have less control if I'm a voter.
Well, you could have voted for a man of principle, but obviously it didn't. Hey, we got somebody else on the line.
Yeah.
Next time we do open lines, you give us a call, will you?
Yeah. Bye-bye.
God bless. Who else do we have calling in?
Good morning. There we go. Good morning, Dr. Stan. This is Mark Call here in Iowat.
Hi.
And I know
you?
We're almost to the break, but just before we do that, I'll preface this by saying I very much appreciated what you were telling the last caller, and I certainly agree with your general gist. And having said that, I don't necessarily disagree with him so far as the idea of understanding is concerned and of recognizing where we've gone wrong. And that, of course, is what you've been talking about for a long time as well. I guess where I would come down is to say that I think it has become clear to me that it is too late for what I used to talk about a lot, which is 2 Chronicles 7:14, the famous quote that begins, "If my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways." Because I think that the country, the economy, all of those things are so far gone that as much as we would like to, that we have a democracy, like it or not. The republic is dead, unfortunately. And at this point, my own inclination is to advise people that the most important thing we need to do, rather than worrying about going to the courts and becoming a sovereign citizen, is getting before our God and repenting for ourselves and for the things that we have failed to do, and recognizing that we do have some options here, and we have to honor our own contracts. You know, the Constitution was a contract that's been dishonored. Those of us that have participated have been in dishonor. We've got to get back to something more real.
God bless. Well said. Thanks so very much. We need a revival in America, that's for sure. And we'll be back in a moment.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Sterling Diesel Service reminds us that safety on the job is job one. Knowledge of the job, sobriety, and awareness are qualities we all count on in our fellow employees and employers. Keep the workplace and job site safe for yourself, your coworkers, and the clientele you serve. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Sterling Diesel Service. They say our area is a great place to live, work, shop, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's Sterling Diesel Service in Sterling, where they're always concerned for the safety and welfare of our community.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Office or commercial space for rent. Here's your chance to get a great location downtown Johnstown across from Ace Hardware on Parrish. Only $500 a month. Lots of room for sign exposure and 500 square feet. Available now. Call 970-231-6586. Also available, one-bedroom apartment for rent. Remodeled, clean, air conditioning, downtown Johnstown, off-street parking. Available now. Only $575 a month. Please call 970-231-6586. 970-231-6586.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest is, I hope you've enjoyed our open line program without a guest. And certainly, as far as what our caller about being a sovereign citizen, I agree with him totally. And I always like to say, you're going to be the best educated person in the concentration camp. All this may very well be true, but we're involved in a spiritual battle against conspiratorial forces which come from the dark side and energized by the dark side. And people must understand we're involved in a spiritual battle. They must understand the political considerations. They must understand the difference between a republic and a democracy. And they must understand we are a republic and the subversive elements, and these are subversive elements within the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers and others, are intent upon destroying this nation. And they plant their people in our government, and they swear an oath to the Constitution, which they hate and despise, because their real purpose is to destroy this nation and to bring about a one-world government, a one-world economy, a one-world currency, and the destruction of Christianity. And that's the common denominator behind all of this. Well, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. And, of course, the book we talked about, entitled The Coming Battle by Dr. Mr. Wahlberg, written in 1889. You need to get that to understand banking and how it had done the same thing in the years past that it's doing today. Only now they've got us concerned. They tell us, oh, we have no idea how this happened. Just a terrible mistake. It was the housing crisis that brought this down. It was the appraisers. It was greed. We didn't have enough regulation. We had lots of regulation. They just refused to impose them. They refused to do what was right because they wanted to create this crisis that's going to bring down the financial structure of this country and impoverish our people. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We have a wonderful book called The Money Creators, written in 1935. And we make this available through our ministry. And, of course, want to go ahead and just mention the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, must reading. The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, must reading. Fiat Money Inflation in France, just a little tiny book written well over 100 years ago by Arthur Dickinson White. I think he was a dean of Cornell University, a provost at Cornell University, about what happened after the French Revolution, when they went to a fiat money system like we have today. And it doesn't matter. I mean, it sounds the greatest theory of all time, but it just doesn't work. And that's what they're talking about today. An article recently in the Wall Street Journal says this. Officials hope that the new money, and they're talking about all this new money they're creating out of nothing, officials hope that the new money gets more credit into the economy and helps to revive the financial system. If all goes according to plan, Fed officials will pull the extra money during a recovery, pushing interest rates higher before inflation gets out of hand. Hope it's going to work. They all hope it's going to work. Ladies and gentlemen, it's never worked at all throughout history. Why should we hope it'll work this time? And what happens if it doesn't work? They destroy the monetary system. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you get anything from us, you'd ask for a copy of this article. The Fed doesn't need a press to print its new money. That's the Fed doesn't need it for us to print this new money out of the Wall Street Journal. We'd be glad to send it to you. It's very revealing. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our website is radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to understand the spiritual battle. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, because we need a revival in America. But pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic...